You're listening to the Whole Hog Football Podcast, sponsored by Bud Anderson Home Services, bringing you the latest news, position analysis, and more. Here's your hosts, Matt Jones and Scotty Bordelon.
Going into Arkansas's game at Ole Miss, a lot of people said that it was a toss-up, and that's pretty much what happened. It was a toss-up down to the very last play. If Arkansas scores on the two-point conversion, they win. If they miss, they lose, and that's what happened. The Razorbacks fell 52-51 at Ole Miss. It was their second consecutive loss. They also lost at Georgia the week before. They'll come back home this week to take on Auburn with a 4-2 overall record and a 2-1 record in SEC play. Matt Jones joined by Scotty Bordelon of Whole Hog Sports and Clay Henry of Hogs Illustrated. The two-point conversion was something that I think has been dissected quite a bit in the days since the Razorbacks lost in Oxford. I thought it was the right decision to go for two. I guess really a lot of people think that. Maybe if there's any indifference about it, it was the play call itself. Scotty, what were your thoughts about how the game ended and where the Razorbacks stand at 4-2 midway through the season?
No, it's interesting. I was watching the game. My dad came up last weekend, so we're watching. I didn't go to Oxford, so me and him were watching the game in the living room, and we were like, you know, if Arkansas scores from 9 yards out and gets a touchdown to go down one, you know, the kind of the saying is, you know, you go for the tie at home and go for the win on the road. I was perfectly fine with going for two. I think sometimes, you know, when a game is like Arkansas averaged like almost 8 yards a play, Ole Miss was close to, you know, 8 or 9. And sometimes when you just need 3 yards in a game like that, you can kind of overthink things, be in your head a little bit too much. I was good with the play. I think the dump down to Dominic Johnson was there for a split second. And the split second that it was open, I think KJ had already decided that he was going to roll out to his right. And then when the secondary contained for Ole Miss came up, you know, he had to, you know, I think he realized that he had to get rid of that ball. And Traylon Burks was probably the guy to go to, because, I mean, that's a pretty good release valve for you more often than not. But there's just such a mass of bodies on that right side of the field that it was, I mean, it was going to be pretty tough to sneak a ball in there. But I was perfectly fine going for two. I mean, if you get that, you get that score, I mean, you are riding sky high going into Auburn. But even though you lost, you still feel pretty good about how you played, at least offensively, you know, going into Auburn, who's, you know, not the Auburn of old per se, but still a pretty good football team.
The two-point play, I have no problem with. I think you're going to have to make a two-point play in that game to win it. If you go into overtime, likely both teams score, you kick an extra point, both teams score again, and then you're, you know, starting with the second overtime, you're going for two. And you give Ole Miss the chance to go for two. It could be that they get a two-point conversion before you, and you're going for a two to tie. So I like where it fell. You kind of look back through the game, and there were situations where, to me, are more critical than that. You get the one field position break when you get a fourth down stop of Ole Miss and get it at the plus 33. And you're on the goal line, and you've got Warren Thompson open in the end zone, and KJ missed him. And so you settle for a field goal. Arkansas had missed a field goal earlier. Ole Miss had missed an extra point earlier. They got their two-point conversion. So when Arkansas had their chance for their two-point conversion, they didn't get it. So to me, that's the capsulation of the game. I like going for it on two, going for on two on the road. The analytics are – suggest that's, you know, that's one way. There'll be some conservative folks that, no, let's just play the game out a little longer. We'll see if we can make Ole Miss make a mistake, put your defense back out there, get a stop. Well, that wasn't happening. So I get what Sam Pittman was doing. I'm like you, Scotty. As I watched Arkansas go down the field, I said, if they get it in the end zone less than 30 seconds, then go for two and end it right here. And that's exactly how it played out. And, you know, you're going into the game, the expectations, Ole Miss has got the advantage. They're, you know, they've been the better offensive team. They had not been the better defensive team, but it's, you know, it turned out to be a shootout. You got what you hope for is, you know, an offense that could keep up with Ole Miss's offense. Expectations before the season is I had that as a loss. So, you know, I think Arkansas is playing with house money a little bit there. But now, you know, I guess we're going to go on to the Auburn game.
Potentially going into overtime, Ole Miss was scoring at will on Arkansas. And so I can certainly understand why they wanted to try to get that game over with. I mean, I'm just looking here at Ole Miss's drive chart in the second half. They went field goal, turnover on downs in their first two drives of the half, and then touchdown, 3 plays, 79 yards, touchdown, 10 plays, 75, touchdown, 7 plays, 75. They punted, and then, you know, in their last possession, a two-play drive that went 75 yards with another touchdown. They were just scoring touchdowns in bunches in the second half, especially during that fourth quarter. And there was no confidence to me that Arkansas was going to be able to stop them, which basically transitions into, you know, the next question. And that's what's happened to Arkansas's defense the last couple of weeks. I know Georgia, they were so physical at the line of scrimmage, and that was something Arkansas I don't think had experienced yet this year. I know Ole Miss is really good play, but is there some concern about the big plays that Arkansas gave up in that game?
Well, I think that going into the Georgia and the Ole Miss game, I thought it was going to be a step up against better quarterbacks. And as it turned out, JT Daniels didn't play. Stetson Bennett is a good quarterback, not a great quarterback, but I think it's a game where you know that the quarterback play is exceptional. Now he might be the best quarterback in the country. He might be the Heisman Trophy winner before it's all said and done. But I think partly you have to analyze, is the three-man front the right way to go? Do you have a fourth defensive lineman that you think can be in the rotation? I think it was a better offensive line. I also think that Ole Miss did some things scheme-wise that you have to kind of tip your hat towards Lane Kiffin, that they saw some things over the summer that they thought might work and saved them for this game. Turned out to be brilliant. But more than anything else, I think that, you know, they've asked their safeties to do an awful lot. And Jalen Catalan's beat up. He's got a broken hand. He's probably got a bung up shoulder. He's missed some tackles. He missed a fourth down tackle against Georgia in the first half, or fourth and one play when he came up, maybe across the line of scrimmage and hit the back and bounced off. Had a shot at Matt Corral on a fourth down play, didn't get him down. And, you know, so I think some of your scheme decisions are based on, you know, you got Superman playing back there, number one, it's safety, and can he make these plays? I think, by and large, you probably need a couple of weeks off. Maybe he doesn't play in the UAPB game and gets the open date week off, and he's a little better for the stretch. But you might have to analyze what you're asking your defense to do, and, you know, are you able to rest them? And, you know, but I think against Auburn, they're going to be able to control the tempo a little better defensively, but it's something the coaches have to figure out. Are we going to go forward with the three-man front and have safeties fill gaps, or are we going to, you know, play more guys in the box and play more man? You know, that's a tough decision sometimes.
Yeah, the defense has been pretty concerning for me this the last 2 weeks, you know, since the A&M game. We haven't really heard much out of John Ridgeway. Haven't heard much from Trey Williams. And I get that, you know, Ole Miss got the ball out largely before, you know, Trey Williams could get into the backfield. But there just hasn't been a whole lot of disruption from those two guys. And it just seemed like, as a whole, Arkansas's defense was on the field against Ole Miss just because the rules of the game demand it, right? Like, you got to have 11 guys on the field, but you know, it felt like there were less than that at times, the way that Ole Miss receivers were running free. And, you know, they beat Arkansas deep on two sluggos. I mean, and there was nobody within 10 or 15 yards of those guys. And that's discipline. And I think it's also Arkansas played maybe the best receivers that they've faced this year. Like, Dontario Drummond is a problem. Braylon Sanders is really good too. And even though they didn't have Jonathan Mingo, like you, those top two guys can go and win you games. I think the most concerning thing for me, though, is because I think you went into that game knowing that you were probably going to get beat in the passing game a time or two, just because Matt Corral and those receivers are solid. But the run game was pretty disappointing to me. Ole Miss went in, Clay texted both of us that, you know, Jerrion Ealy's not going to play. So you're feeling a little bit better about, you know, the hit that Ole Miss's running backs group took. But Snoop Connor, I mean, I think Ole Miss had three guys that ran for like 95 plus yards or something like that. That's just not, that's not who Arkansas is as a defense. And, you know, you, like Clay said, you got to credit Lane Kiffin and his offensive staff for, you know, maybe gaming Barry Odom a little bit, and they created an extra gap for Arkansas to fill on the edge, and Arkansas didn't have enough bodies in the right spot. And you wall that off right, and you know, you see Snoop Connor running for 50 plus and 30 plus for touchdowns. It's been pretty tough to watch the last couple of weeks, especially run defense.
This defense has given up a lot of big plays this year. Even before the Ole Miss game, they had the long touchdown run against A&M on a broken play against Georgia Southern. Their quarterback went for 76. Even the Rice game, they had a long touchdown pass down the sideline early in the second half of that game. And so as good as they had been for the first four or five games, there had been some big plays, but certainly nothing like what we saw against Ole Miss. Sometimes I think you just get into, I think about basketball, you know, you get into basketball games where you might have a couple of good defensive teams, and then all of a sudden, you know, the final score is 100-something to 100-something, just because that's the flow that the game gets into. And I felt like it was kind of that way the other day, that the play callers were so locked in. I think the defenses were maybe a little bit tired, because both of the offenses seemed to be scoring pretty quickly, and so they weren't getting a lot of breaks, even on, you know, what were somewhat long possessions. You know, because Ole Miss with Jeff Lebby, that's a guy that comes out of the Art Briles coaching tree, just like Kendall Briles, their brothers-in-law. You know, and I think that both of them kind of have a similar philosophy about tempo and speed and whatnot. For Arkansas, KJ Jefferson played outstanding, probably as well as you could have expected him to play. And there was some thought that, you know, would the nerves get to him before he went to Oxford? But that wasn't the case. That was, I think, as well as we've seen KJ Jefferson play in any of the starts that he's made in his Arkansas career.
Yeah, that first throw that he made, that was, I think it was an overthrow to Davion Warren. I think it was like maybe on 3rd and 7. That was a little bit of the early game jitters. But from that second series on, he controlled the game as well as we've ever seen him. And I finished his analysis earlier today, and he was as efficient and spot on and sharp at every level of the field, throwing the ball to every depth of the field, as he's been all season. He was 5 of 5 behind the line of scrimmage, 7 of 8 from 1 to 5 yards downfield, 5 of 7 to 6 to 10 yards, 3 of 4 to 11 to 15 yards, and then he hit 5 deep balls. I mean, you take out the heave through to the end zone at the end of the first half, where he got picked off, and it's kind of inconsequential, but he hit 50% of his deep balls. And the most encouraging thing to me, I think, just kind of charting him throughout the year, you kind of see some trends, like which area of the field or level of the field is he, you know, struggling at, which level is he efficient at. He was really struggling in that 6 to 10 yard range and then 11 to 15 yard range. But he hit 8 of 11 of those throws the other day. And that, you know, if KJ can, you know, become more consistent at that area of the field, you know, Arkansas's offense is going to take off, I think. And the emergence of a guy like Warren Thompson is really big too, because he can alleviate some pressure from Treylon Burks, and he can go downfield and get a deep ball, or, you know, he can just find an open area in the defense, and he's got, you know, I think pretty sure hands. I really like what Warren Thompson's doing, and I think it gives KJ another weapon. I figured KJ was going to go into Saturday playing pretty inspired. That was the best. It's going to be really, really hard to top that. Because, I mean, he beat you through the air with the deep ball, and then on the ground, I mean, he was awesome. And, you know, when he used that Sam Pittman trick, you know, Sam taught him how to dive, jump in to the end zone from the 5 yard line. I mean, that KJ was rolling at that point. I'm just glad he didn't get injured when he landed on his neck, because that was a pretty nasty spill. But I mean, he was awesome. It might be a while before we see another performance like that.
I think the other part that you have to tip your hat for KJ is that it's not just calling passes. I mean, it's RPO, and he's making decisions post-snap on what the read is, and it's incredible that he gets the read correct so many times. And I know that there are a lot of people that say, oh, let's call more passes. He's lighting it up passing. But it's that running game that opens up all that passing. And the blocking on the perimeter by the wide receivers, they're taking advantage of that. They're not perfect there. Warren Thompson, I think he drew a little bit of flack from the head coach for not finishing some blocks. But the reads by KJ in the Kendall Browse offense in his first year, I think it gives you a lot of confidence that you can go run offense against a lot of defenses. Now, if you're getting whipped at the line like Georgia did, it doesn't matter what your reads are, they're going to be wrong. But he's developing as a guy that can run the offense. And, you know, you can call base plays and expect them to gain positive yardage.
I think, too, what we saw, I think, before the Ole Miss game, Pro Football Focus, one of their writers came out and he ranked all 130 of the FBS starters. And he had KJ at number 84. I mean, that right there was a slap in the face that there are 83 starters in the country better than him. And it was silly then, and it looks even sillier now. He's got the fifth best overall offensive grade among quarterbacks in the SEC, and he's 28th overall. So I think what you saw the other day with that performance that he had, you know, I think he's gaining a little bit of respect nationally.
One of the big notes that came out of Sam Pittman's news conference after the Ole Miss game is that Dalton Wagner is going to be out for the foreseeable future. He underwent a surgery on a finger. We don't know which finger it was, but that he injured that finger against Georgia, and he didn't play against Ole Miss, obviously. And he's not going to be able to play for a while. Looks like Ty Clary will be his backup. Pittman's talked about they've done some shuffling in the guard and tackle positions. We talked last week about Tykeus Crawford and Jalen St. John moving to guard. They're going to stay in those positions. Luke Jones, who has been a guard, basically is going to be trained, I think, based on Pittman's comments, that he's going to be trained at both left and right tackle to where he could possibly be the backup tackle should they need him in the game. Wagner, he's been off and on this year. I think he was dealing with a back injury earlier in the season. We know that he was dealing with that during the preseason. But this is a guy who I think, what is it, like 25 career starts, 29 career starts, something like that for him at the tackle position. And so there's a lot of experience that you lose there with him. Clay, what are your thoughts on Clary moving into that position and the dynamic now along the offensive line with him playing tackle?
Yeah, I think, Matt, you could put a U besides Ty Clary's name for utility. And, I think he can play guard, center, or tackle. And I think he's useful, too. That's the U. I steal a line from Scott Van Pelt for golf. He's going to do fine. I think that he knows the assignments. He's bulked up. He can – you know, he played tackle in high school. He played left tackle, actually, at Fayetteville High. And I think he'll do okay there. I mean, it's not like he's replacing an all-SEC player. I think that what Ty Clary can do at right tackle probably is similar to what Dalton Wagner can do. He might not mash on you, might lack a few pounds. But I think they're okay. What you have to worry about is more injuries. And, you know, it's like anything else. You start subtracting players, you know, all at once, you know, it's like next man up. Well, you do that a couple of times and then it really changes the dynamics of what you have in the offensive line. I think they can protect all right. I don't see a dynamic pass rusher that Auburn has. I think they're okay here. They don't have a big cat, that they had last year. And so I think that Big Cat Bryant, I think, is transferred. He followed Gus to Central Florida. This isn't the Auburn defensive line that we saw last year and really the last 4 or 5 years where they can just whip you physically. Arkansas will have a chance to run the ball. And with this offense, you're not asking Ty to do incredible work. He's got to set the pocket, but I think they can probably move KJ around a little bit if they see some problems there.
I think Clay made a good point that, you know, losing Dalton Wagner, it's not like a crushing blow, just because I think you feel pretty good about Clary at right tackle. But I will say, Pro Football Focus numbers, they like Dalton Wagner a little bit. I think they got him as the number six tackle in the league. And he's one of the best run blockers. And so that may be where you miss him the most. But, you know, his pass blocking grade is a little bit lacking. So maybe Ty Clary can come in and give you a little bit of a boost there. I think what also helps is, you know, if you face a defensive front with three down, you know, your right guard can come over and kind of help you out on that edge to, you know, kind of solidify your pass blocking a little bit.
The Whole Hog Football Podcast is brought to you by Bud Anderson Home Services. Visit them online at gocallbud.com.
Bud Anderson is proud to be the official heating and cooling provider for the Arkansas Razorbacks. This partnership will support all Razorback athletics for over 400 student athletes across 19 sports. Woo pig!
WholeHogSports.com has the largest, most experienced staff of reporters covering sports in Arkansas. Football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. You'll find it at WholeHogSports.com. The website includes up-to-minute news, daily commentaries, and award-winning photography from the staffs of Hogs Illustrated and the Democrat Gazette. For subscriptions, call 1-800-757-6277. That's 1-800-757-6277. Or visit us online today. WholeHogSports.com.
Want more coverage of your home team? Download the Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app. Check out the Fan Zone and get up-to-the-minute videos, podcasts, and features on football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. Search for Whole Hog Sports on Apple TV, Roku, and Amazon Fire at home. And take it with you on the go by downloading it for your mobile device in your app store. The Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app. Get it today.
Welcome back to the Whole Hog Football Podcast.
Fake injuries were a topic after another Arkansas game, and it's interesting that these have come up in two of the really prolific offensive games that Arkansas has played under Sam Pittman. You know, it was a topic last year with Eli Drinkwitz and the Missouri coaching staff in the game that Arkansas lost 50-48 up in Columbia, a game remarkably similar to what we saw in Oxford. In fact, if you go back and you look, from what I've been able to find, Arkansas has played in four games in its history when the two teams combined for more than 1,200 yards. It was 1,287 on Saturday between Arkansas and Ole Miss. The only other three games where that's happened were the great Andre Ware, Quinn Grovey shootout in Little Rock in 1989, the Arkansas-Houston game that year, the Arkansas-Missouri game a year ago, and that great Arkansas-Texas A&M comeback in 2011, the Tyler Wilson-Jarius Wright game. But the reason I bring this up is we've seen fake injuries be an issue now a couple of times against this Kendall Briles offense. Sam Pittman kind of, I think he watched his words very closely whenever he was asked about this at the end of his news conference on Monday. But I think the evidence is clear that you had Ole Miss players looking toward the sideline and then falling down in an attempt to slow down the momentum of the Arkansas offense in that game. And I think it's very interesting. Pittman mentioned that he's on the board for the American Football Coaches Association. Hunter Juracek has been, you know, added to a prominent position with the NCAA this year in a football oversight committee that helps recommend rule changes. And so you've got a couple of influential figures here that I think this is going to be something that whenever rule changes come up again, Clay, it's going to be one of those things that certainly looked at, along with targeting, which has certainly been an issue in some of Arkansas's games.
Yeah, you're right, Matt. But I don't know what you can do. And I think they've really struggled with the answer to this, and they haven't found one yet. And there's thought that, you know, that you lose that player for possession, or I don't know. It's I've heard a coach say that the best way to do it is to, you know, look, let the coach from the other sideline pick somebody to take out of the game. In other words, you say that guy goes into the penalty box for a few plays. You know, it's like, you know, you're substituting a player that you want to substitute. You've planned this. So we're going to let the other coach pick somebody that you don't want to take off the field. I got tickled. I was actually sitting next to three Mississippi State troopers, and they weren't for either team. They were just there assigned to duty. And when about the third one that went down, one of them said, "I think there's a sniper in the building." And he says, "Yeah, he's right down there standing at the 45. He's Lane Kiffin." So he's picking them off one by one. And I had to keep from laughing because it was hilarious. And they got it. And if you asked them to assess the penalty, they would have penalized the coach.
I just don't know how you police this. When safety is something that's so paramount in football, I don't know how you police it. I wish you could. I just don't know how you do it, Scotty.
I don't either. I just think the first order of business should be getting those defensive linemen life alert. And whenever they go down, they can just hit a button and they can, you know, they can have EMTs, you know, arrive very, very soon. It's just, I don't know what you do either. And it's weird because you can't just say that the kid is 100% not hurt, because the kid, he could be cramping. And so, but it's really hard. There's so many officials on the field, though, you would think that, you know, they would have eyes on, at least one of them would have eyes on a defensive lineman. And then he's standing there and then Arkansas is getting ready to walk up to the ball and he just falls. I feel like you should be able to say, like, no, like you can't, like you just can't do that. But I think there's just too much subjectivity to it. And then even with the penalties, like if they decide to penalize it, like how long do you keep a guy out? Do you keep him out for three or four plays? Do you keep him out for five, the whole series? Like, I just think there's too much opinion comes into it. But I think Sam Pittman has about had it with that, because that has, the most injuries that, you know, he's had, he said he's seen in one of his games this year, and it's now happened twice. And I think in the span of what, 7 or 8 games, I mean, that's, that's more than enough to have him fed up.
Well, and I thought Auburn was kind of a notorious abuser of that before Gus Malzahn left there, but
that
maybe they,
this weekend,
maybe
Sam
they still
may
are.
Flip his lid.
Yeah.
Yeah. He'll flip his lid.
Yeah. I think so. You know, the only thing I can think of that might curb this a little bit is if there is a rule that goes into place that if you are injured, you have to miss the rest of that possession. Doesn't matter what the injury is. If you're injured, you can't come in the rest of that possession. I don't know if coaches and administrators would go for that. I think that's a way that you could possibly do this. Or maybe there's at least a minimum count snap or snap count before you can come back into a game. I read someone talking the other day about Major League Baseball. Now, you know, if you make a pitching change, you have to stay in there for a minimum of 3 batters or until the next half inning. Maybe there's something like that that you can do with injuries. But I don't know how you curtail this, because it's something that's been plaguing the game, quite frankly, for what now, 6-7 years, and there's still really no real way to solve that problem. Arkansas is going to be a favorite this weekend against Auburn. I think 3.5 points is what the line opened as. The Razorbacks are ranked this week. Auburn's not. Arkansas number 17 in the AP poll. Kind of surprising that Auburn's not ranked. That, you know, when Arkansas lost to Georgia, and I thought Arkansas probably looked a little bit worse against Georgia than Auburn did, they fell 5 places in the poll. Auburn falls completely out after being ranked number 18. So we miss on our fourth straight top 25 matchup. As we look at the back half of the SEC schedule, though, Vegas obviously thinks Arkansas is a favorite in this game. They're going to be favored against UAPB. They should be favored against Missouri. I think they could be favored against LSU, depending on how things play out. I guess where I'm going with this, Clay, is that the back half of the SEC schedule, with the exception of the Alabama game and maybe Mississippi State as a wild card, looks very favorable for the Razorbacks.
Yeah, this is a game that, you know, I'm with you. You know, Auburn may have done enough to be ranked, but they, you know, it's in the, they've done enough to be ranked in their 2 losses. You know, you can't really fault too much how they played against Georgia. They, you know, for three quarters, they were in the game, competing anyway. And they had chances to win at Penn State. And that's an impressive performance, even though they lost. It's their victories that don't give them any brownie points. That you know, winning at LSU doesn't look impressive. And then in their non-conference games, not victories, there's nothing there. And they were lucky to win one of them against a team that they were heavily favored. So that's where, Auburn is lost credibility. But I think that if you look at the rest of the schedule, as you did, this week in Alabama are the two toughest opponents. Mississippi State, not sure about them. They've been okay. Winning at College Station, you have to give them a lot of credit. But I think this is a big week for Arkansas. I think it's they're favored. They haven't had a target like that really in the 2 years that Sam's been the head coach, that they're favored in an SEC game. Let's see how they carry that. You know that the edge is thin. It's not that their talent level isn't above Auburn. You're giving Arkansas a lot of credit for the victory over Texas A&M in Texas, but it's not like they can roll the ball out and dominate Auburn. They're going to have to play well. They're going to have to get a good performance from their defense. They've got to stop the run, which they haven't done the last 2 weeks. You know, you can talk about Bo Nix scrambling, but what they're going to do is they're going to try to hammer Arkansas with the run, and can Arkansas stop them?
I think this game is a pretty big game for Arkansas in the sense that it could dictate your mindset for the next couple of weeks. I mean, you win this game, you're flying high into UAPB, feel like you're going to coast into that one, go into the bye week, and then you're on an emotional high going into your next SEC game. If you lose it, it could just kind of feel like maybe you're kind of slogging through things, and then, you know, get to UAPB, not too excited about it. Got to go down to Little Rock for the game, and then you got a week off, and then you're prepping for the next game, but your mind still might be on, you know, I would imagine this game's going to be pretty good this weekend. So you might be thinking about letting one get away perhaps. And so I just think it's a big game, you know, in terms of that and, where you feel like you stand in the SEC West right now.
Yeah, and when you say where do you stand in the SEC West, it's the pecking order for bowl assignments. And I said this before the Texas A&M game. You get a leg up on Texas A&M with a victory, because when it's head-to-head and Greg Sankey is picking bowl assignments, and you say, well, we can send Arkansas or we can send Texas A&M to the Citrus Bowl, or we can send Arkansas or Texas A&M to the Texas Bowl, or it's going to be the same thing with Auburn's going to win enough games to go to a bowl game probably. So you need this victory to get the better bowl assignment. And it's there's money involved and there's prestige involved, and there may be a warmer assignment, so to speak.
I kind of feel like for Texas A&M, them beating Alabama might offset the loss to Arkansas if you're looking at them head-to-head, if their records are close later in the season. We'll see. By the way, I think this is Arkansas's first time to be favored in an SEC game since 2017, when they went to South Carolina and lost in what I think was pretty much Brett Bielema's Waterloo moment as the Arkansas coach. Again, Arkansas and Auburn this weekend at 11 a.m. It'll be on CBS. We'll be back later this week, and we'll take a more in-depth look at that game. Until then, head on over to WholeHogSports.com, where we've got plenty of coverage about Razorback football. Also, we're going to have lots of coverage about basketball and baseball this week. Basketball red-white game coming up. The baseball team in the middle of its Fall World Series. Lots of coverage right now at WholeHogSports.com. For Scotty Bordelon and Clay Henry, I'm Matt Jones. Thanks for joining us.
The proceeding has been a production of WholeHogSports.com. Look for our latest podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcast store. And visit us anytime at WholeHogSports.com for the latest news and commentary.